Let's take a look at verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. The word ordain just simply means I instruct. So Paul's instruction to all the churches is what verse 17 says, to walk as you were called. We saw in the past that to walk means a manner of life in which you live. It's how you conduct yourselves throughout life. What Paul is saying here is that whatever state, whatever you were, wherever you were in life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, stay there. This verse is a continuation of what Paul has already said in the previous verses. So if we were to say, what state were you in? Were you married to an unbeliever? Then stay married to the unbeliever. Remember the teaching. As long as they're willing, stay married. If you were married to an unbeliever or she is willing to stay, then stay. If he's willing to stay, then stay. It's not talking about the obvious, and that is, were you saved while a prostitute? Then stay a prostitute. Well, we know that's clear because the rest of Scripture say, forsake sin, right? If Christ died for our sins, then why would we continue to live in it? Romans chapter 6, right? But Paul also introduces some new topics into the mix. Look at verse 18. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be uncircumcised. You know, some believe that this is referring to the literal act of circumcision, which I kind of find hard to see how you would be uncircumcised. You know, so I really believe that Paul is speaking figuratively. And we know that throughout the rest of Scripture, that those who were circumcised were Jews. Those who are uncircumcised are Gentiles. Therefore, were you saved as a Jew? Then don't seek to live a life as a Gentile. Were you saved as a Gentile? Then don't seek to walk as a Jew. You know, there's nothing wrong with the dietary laws if you're not observing them in order to gain favor with God. You know, if you're keeping the law just to keep the law because that's what you choose to do, then you have the right to do it. But don't think that you have to do it in order to earn favor with God. That's false as far as Scriptures are concerned. Look at verse 19. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commands of God is what matters. You know, throughout the Old Testament, it is very clear that the Jewish people were the chosen people. That God took the nation of Israel and he says it's not because you were numerous or because you were special, but because you were small. And what God is saying is because you were small, I was able to show my glory. See, it's all about glory, God's glory. It's not about us. We've said this many times. I just want to reiterate that truth. It's not about us. It's not about the redemptive plan of man. It's about the glorification of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6, 12, and 14, to the praise of his glory. We saw that. It's all about the glory of God. Redemption for man is just part of God's glory. He gets the glory for the love that he demonstrated through Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's to the praise of his glory. Before the foundations of the world, he already determined to send his Son. That was to the praise of his glory, not ours. It's not about us. We're just a byproduct, a very special byproduct. We are his treasured inheritance. What comes along with that is just amazing. We are his treasured inheritance. Can you believe that? That he loves us so much when Christ died for our sins that we became his treasured? That just blows my mind. Well, I say that because I know myself. I know my sinfulness. And what you think you know, you only know a percent. So it's amazing that God looks at me as a treasured inheritance. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Circumcision, uncircumcision isn't anything. Whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, doesn't matter. Because we all had to come to Christ in the same manner. Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slaves or free, but Christ is all and in all. Again, it just doesn't matter. And we saw in Ephesians that we all come to Jesus Christ the same way. We all became part of the church in the same manner. In what manner is that? that we had to acknowledge that we are sinners. We were going over that a little bit this morning with Romans chapters 1 through 3. Paul really builds the case that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But before he does that, he builds up his case and he goes, hey Jews, you who have the law, do you know that even though you have the law, you break the law, therefore you're sinners? Hey Gentile, those who don't have the law, you know, you have a conscience under yourself. Just think about this for a minute. If you have to lie, don't you understand that you did something wrong in order to lie? So what's the conclusion? We all fall short of God's character, of his glory. So the Jew had to acknowledge that he's a sinner, and the Gentile, those who are non-Jews, also had to admit that their conclusion was, I'm a sinner too. And Paul says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seek after God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the conclusion. What does that bring us about? Well, that brings us to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages, what we've earned because of our sin. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. See, these truths are truths for everyone. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter what your background is. We all had to come to Jesus the same way. We all had to accept the gift as a free gift. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works lest anyone should boast. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. But we must receive that payment. We must receive that payment. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. In order for that payment to take effect, we must accept it. We must acknowledge our sinfulness. We must acknowledge the penalty that will come about because of that sin, and that Jesus Christ did pay for that. But we must accept that free gift, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And then John 14:21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I will make myself made known to him. What is important? That we keep the commands of God, that we obey God. In regards to relationship, will we keep the unity of the church? We looked at that extensively in Ephesians. What about our marriages? As Paul has just gone over so many times and in depth, will we keep the marriage? Two Christians come together, will we work to keep that marriage together? If an unbeliever is married to a believer, will the believer stay with the unbeliever as long as that unbeliever is willing? Do we, like Jesus, desire to please our Heavenly Father? You know that Jesus said that I do all those things that please him. That was the goal. And again, I really like what Paul says. The love of Christ compels me to be obedient. It drives me. It's the driving force. You know what Jesus did, what God did. God the Father predestined, ordained that Jesus Christ would come to this earth, take on a human flesh so that he was able to die in order to have to be a perfect sacrifice. He had to take on human flesh. Only God is perfect. Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. So in order for Jesus, only for a perfect sacrifice to be made, God was the only one good. He had to make the sacrifice, therefore he had to become man. And Paul says, you know, that kind of love, that love that was demonstrated, that's the love that drives me. That's the love that drives me. That's the love that makes me want to live to the fullest for Jesus Christ. I love that. I love that aspect of what Paul says. Let each one remain in the same calling, verse 20, and the same calling which he was called. Were you a Jew when you came to the Lord? Then be a Jew, and the same is true for the Gentiles. You know, if we were to put this in practical terms, the things that we're more familiar with, were you French? Were you black? Were you Mexican? It doesn't matter because we all had to come to the Lord Jesus Christ the same way. But let your identity primarily be that of a Christian. You know, I've seen so many times people, their first and primary identity is their ethnic background. That's secondary. Their first identity is their job, their bank account. Those don't matter because we all had to come to Christ the same way. What's your identity? Jesus Christ. How were you found in him? How does God see you? Perfect. Why? Because you're in Him. Where's your identity? You're a Christian. I don't care what else you are. You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. That's what matters. Verse 21, were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. If you were a slave when you came to know Christ, don't be consumed with it. Don't spend all your waking moments seeing how you can be made free. Don't put all your energies to be made free. Being a slave doesn't really matter. What matters? Obeying the commands of God, right? You know, there's a lot of countries that are very prosperous as far as the church is concerned, and they don't live in the best of circumstances. Matter of fact, there are churches in other parts of the world that have such depression and turmoil and animosity towards the church that if we were looking at it would say, just give up. But they continue on and the church flourishes. Don't worry about the circumstances. Don't let circumstances dictate or determine how it is we're going to respond. Don't be consumed with how you're going to get out of the situation. As God has called you, walk in it. Live your life in that situation. But Paul says, hey, if you have an opportunity, become free. As we look at slaves, think about Onesimus. You know who Onesimus is? Remember the book, Philemon? Onesimus flees Philemon's rule. And he goes, and somehow he meets up with Paul. And Paul leads him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And at some point, Paul says, hey, Onesimus, you must go back to Philemon, and you must be faithful. You must be his servant. Here's the thing that I learned was interesting. For a person, if he was caught, he would have, I think it was an F branded on his forehead, meaning that he was one who fled. So he took a very big chance to go back. Paul didn't say, hey, why, Raul, just kind of use this opportunity to stay free. He didn't write Philemon and say, Philemon, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you'd let this guy stay and give him his freedom. He was one slave. Paul had the opportunity to say we should have no slavery. Is slavery wrong? Yes, it is. But don't let social issues become the primary focus. What is our primary focus? Living for God. Obeying His commandments. That's the focus. No matter what the situation is, what is our focus? John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Look at verse 22. For he who has called you in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. What we were on the outside doesn't compare to what Christ has done on the inside. What we are on the outside does not compare to what Christ has done on the inside. Some may have been slaves at the time of their salvation, but made free from the penalty of sin. What is better? To live your 70 years as a slave and have the assurance of eternal salvation? Or to be a free person who has 70 years of what we call freedom, but be in bondage to sin and the result be eternal death spent in eternal hell? I think the answer is quite evident. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free, or has made me free from the law of sin and death. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If you are an earthly slave, what does it matter? But those who escape accepted Christ as freemen, everyone sitting in this room, we have become Christ's slave. Paul mentioned in chapter 4 that he was a servant. He was a slave. It was an under rower, one who's not recognized. There could be two or three levels of rowers on a ship. And Paul says he was on the very bottom. If he was the slave in that aspect, if he was to give you an illustration of how he viewed himself in Christ, he was the one on the very bottom, not recognized for the work that he did. We are all slaves, Romans 6:18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Ephesians 6:5 through 8, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ. not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. We are Christ's bondservants. We are his slave. You know, there's people who really have a problem saying, using the word slave, and we would just want to say we are his ministers. We want to soften the terminology so that we don't have to look at ourselves. You know the song, A Wretch Like Me? What is that? Amazing Grace, right? A wretch like me. You know what the real word was? A worm. Not that wretch is much better, but we want to make ourselves feel a little better about ourselves. But the truth of the matter is, apart from Jesus Christ, we're just a bunch of wretches. We're slugs. We're nobodies in comparison to Christ. Without Christ, we're no one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God." And we are slaves because he bought us at a price. Do you know that as a bondservant, what really a bondservant was? You would have a slave, and at the time that he was able to be freed, the master treated him so well and he couldn't make it out on his own any better than he already had it. So what he would do is he would say, "I want to become your slave for life." And he would put his ear up against the door and he would take an awl and he'd smack the awl with a hammer and they'd put a hole in your ear, and that was to identify you as a bondservant. You willingly became his slave. We willingly, when we accepted Jesus Christ, we willingly became his slave. Verse 23, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." We were bought with a price, and the price was paid, and the price that was paid was Jesus Christ, his son. His only beloved son. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." It was the perfect lamb. There was nothing else that could purchase our redemption, could bring us back to that relationship with God the Father. Nothing. Not silver or gold, not traditions from your fathers, which was the works of the law. There was nothing that could bring us back to that relationship but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is an expensive payment. There was no other payment possible. Like I said, I love that verse that Paul said, or what Paul wrote, "The love of Christ compels me. He has given me his word, the Bible, so that I can know him and how to live to his fullest," right? If we were to look at Christ, if we consider Christ, and what God has done is he's given, not only given me Christ, and I've said this before, if I ask you, what did Christ do for you? You would say, well, he provided me a way for salvation. And I said, oh no, he did so much more than that. He gave you the meaning of life. Remember that book, Purpose Driven Life? I mean, it's kind of silly you wrote a book on that, because, you know, I've said about books, one of the things about books is that they really focus on a certain area, a certain point. And so you can take your Bible and you can open up to all these different verses and say, you know, I understand what this guy is saying. He's specific. The truth of the matter, though, on a purpose-driven life, it's kind of silly, because all of the New Testament, the majority of the New Testament, is written for you to understand, for me to understand the practicality of Christianity. So what has Christ done for us? He's given us a purpose for life. He has given us a roadmap, which we call the Bible. And we praise the Lord for it. We know how to live. Let me change the word masters for employers. You know, if we were to say, are you a slave, you're a slave to your masters. If we were to say the same thing for employers, which would be in our culture, let us serve them, but knowing we're serving Christ. We're serving them because we serve Christ. We serve as unto the Lord. Do not be eye servants, eye pleasers to man. Do not be man pleasers, for God sees everything. God has called us to work. Work is not a curse. It was ordained before the foundations of the world that Adam and Eve were to serve in the garden. They were to tend the garden. It's not a curse, just the condition of our work is the curse. So when we serve others, we aren't their slaves. They aren't our masters. The real master is Jesus Christ. It's God. You know who had that right perspective? Joseph. Joseph had the perspective. He had the correct perspective. Joseph was sold by his brothers to a bunch of people coming down through the caravan. They brought him to Egypt and resold him again. So he was a slave. For 13 years, Joseph was a slave. He was a slave to Potiphar. Because his wife wanted Joseph, he fled the situation. She accused him of what she was trying to do. Potiphar didn't like that. Sold him to, or put him in jail. The time came and two people were put in prison, the chef and the cupbearer. They had a dream and Joseph interpreted the dream and he says, "Remember me. If you have opportunity to be made free, use it. Remember me." 3 more years he spent in prison. Then he had the opportunity to go before Pharaoh and interpret his dream. I say this because he understood what he was doing. He was serving the real master. And in doing so, glorifying God in the way he served, he also pleased those he was serving on earth. He says, what you meant for harm to his brothers, what you meant for harm, God meant for good. God is the one who's sovereign. He is the one that has placed us where he has placed us. Did he place us as a Jew? He placed us as a Jew. As a Gentile, as a Gentile. Wherever you are at the point of your salvation, remain there. And glorify God in the way that you live in the situation you were placed. This is what Paul is saying at the end of verse 23. Do not become slaves of men, but understand that we are slaves of Christ. When we serve, do not think that we're serving men, but serving Christ. Do not be slaves of men. Verse 24, brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Here Paul repeats what he has already said in verse 20. Don't be preoccupied with your circumstances, but understand that God has allowed us to be where we are in life in order to serve him. It doesn't matter what your education is. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what family you came from. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Greek. It doesn't matter whether you're a slave or free. You are Christ's. I'm Christ, and whatever situation is that I'm in is to live for him to the praise of his glory. Let's pray.